News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:07 Mobile Mornings. Friday morning, heading to the weekend. Ducks weekend weather scale turned out to be
1.7120, I believe.
C minus.
Sorry,
is that what
point. Yeah, I've already put it away. But it was somewhere in the C minus.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anyway, chance of rain. Pretty good chance of rain. Coverage of rain is Saturday. So that's what knocked that down off its perch a little bit.
1.7320.
Okay.
Dr. Bill went with Chad from Sims was 1.7310. So very close, but no bullseye this morning. So there you go.
A lot to get to this hour, including, I think, some interesting things I'm reading about Iran. You've got some of the latest from Hegseth. I guess they held a press conference or are holding one right now. Kind of a end of the week update on what's going on.
Yeah, and letting us know where things stand with the blockade. And that's what Hegseth gave an update on. The U.S. has turned around a total of 34 ships now, by his number, and continue to crack down on Iran-linked ships in the open ocean. Our blockade is growing and going global, Hegseth said. Every ship that the U.S. believes meets our criteria, either Iranian ships or to and from Iranian ports, has been turned around. He said the blockade will go on as long as it takes and that any decision to relax it is up to President Trump. By the way, we now have 3 carrier strike groups in the Middle East. That's the first time since the start of Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003 that we have 3 carrier strike groups over there. You have the USS Abraham Lincoln, USS Gerald R. Ford, and USS George H.W. Bush, now all operating in the U.S. Central Command. General Kane, also part of that press conference this morning, and he said the U.S. military is working with the DOJ and law enforcement authorities to seize oil tankers in international waters, and that's all part of the expanding pressure campaign to squeeze the country economically. We seized 2 large oil tankers this week in the Indian Ocean at the request of the DOJ. Kane, General Kane, said law enforcement officials were involved and that the U.S. would continue to pursue Iranian ships and vessels of the so-called Dark Fleet in the days ahead. Now, how this went down, we had U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro yesterday. Her office, she said, submitted seizure warrants for the 2 ships. So this is they're going the legal route on this.
Yeah.
In addition to that, the president extended a waiver that loosens restrictions on shipments along America's coastline in an attempt to ease energy market disruptions caused by this blockade and war.
Right.
Early in the war, the DHS temporarily lifted a shipping law called the Jones Act that bans foreign ships from carrying goods between U.S. ports. The waiver had been due to expire May 17th. And covered vessels transporting energy-related products such as jet fuel or fertilizer, which prices on those have skyrocketed. I believe one airline company is raising ticket prices by 20% for summer.
Yes.
Because of those jet fuel prices.
Yep.
And we've heard about fertilizer and the issues there for farmers in America. So they're extending the that rule to allow shipping to be a little easier. And for the mine-laying boats, which you talked about this morning, Hegseth said the U.S. is prepared to fire on Iranian fast boats that attempt to lay mines. It was under Trump's command yesterday on Truth Social. And it, they're concerned that Iran has been laying additional mines. That was the story yesterday. Hegseth said, our commanders have clear rules of engagement. If Iran is putting mines in the water or otherwise threatening American commercial shipping,
take them out.
We will shoot to destroy.
Yep.
No hesitation, just like the drug boats in the Caribbean. He said reckless mining is a violation of the ceasefire. And that's the latest there from Hegseth and Kane. And remember, yesterday, too, had those talks between Israel and Lebanon in the White House, and the president announced a 3-week extension.
That's right.
To that ceasefire, even as shots were volleyed as they were having discussions yesterday.
At least the talks are going on in D.C. Also, Carl on the text line wants to know what's going on with Khamenei. He's talking about the son of the Ayatollah who was killed in the early hours of the war. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're still proposing that he is alive.
Though, yeah.
There's been no real sight. There was just a cardboard cutout one time about a week in. And other than that, we haven't seen the guy.
And Trump, you know, he's been saying this week especially that the hardest part of coming to a deal is because of dissension in the ranks with the IRGC.
Yep.
Well, the New York Times had a report that came out yesterday, and I still don't know, you know, how much truth there is to this because they're hearing it from the Iranians. Khamenei, who this is Mojtaba Khamenei, who's been unseen and unheard of since he became the supreme leader now 2 months ago. He's believed to have been so badly wounded that in the strike that killed his father that he now struggles to speak, will require plastic surgery, and is awaiting a prosthetic leg. They say they have a team of doctors and medical staff surrounding him, treating injuries that were sustained in those airstrikes, and that they're in at an undisclosed location. So you have senior commanders of the IRGC reportedly visiting him, along with top government officials, and he's been basically giving them handwritten notes because his face and lips were severely burned, making it difficult for him to speak. And yes, they're saying he will require plastic surgery. I'm sure there's no tomfoolery going on there.
We can believe every last word of that. That's the bad news. The good news was he was taken by the Cleveland Browns in the first round. Well, the Browns went in that direction. Surprised a lot of people. All right, so one of the strategies Trump was talking about in my story in our three big things was targeting individuals, including the head of Ahmad Vahidi. He's the commander-in-chief of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They consider him somebody who is undermining the negotiations right now. Mm. So he's not playing nice. They think if they take him out, that could change things a little bit.
Yeah, and remember, we were talking with someone we decided would be the new leader, or that's what it sounded like coming from the Trump administration, that the Iranian Speaker of Parliament, I don't know if that's his exact title or not, but he's been kind of the main guy we've been discussing this deal with. Yesterday, Ghalibaf, Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf,
yep,
was forced to resign from the Iranian negotiating team by factions within the IRGC.
There you go.
So that he's out of the mix. Basically a coup to get him out of there.
He was the guy we were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And, wow. So there again, we know that there are, you know, fractures inside of what, if you want to call it leadership, it doesn't sound like it's all that coordinated or unified for sure. Also, interesting reading in Fox News this morning, Miad Maliki, he played a central role in the Treasury Department, the sanctions campaigns against Iran. And he says we've never had the level of leverage that we have today. So he says this is really going to be a turning point right now. Total control over the Strait of Hormuz is a big deal, he says. And he argues that the current moment marks a turning point because multiple pressure tools, sanctions, a U.S. naval blockade, and also tighter enforcement are being applied simultaneously. And he said Iran may run out of oil storage in as little as 2 or 3 weeks, forcing production cuts, while gasoline shortages could hit on a similar timeline due to heavy reliance on imports. And combined with the estimated $435, $450, $500 million a day in economic losses with the Strait of Hormuz being shut down by our blockade, it's having a big impact. He says that the core of the pressure is an Iranian economy he describes as, quote, on the verge of collapse. So you also have people, including member of the core, not getting paid. If your paycheck's not rolling in, what sort of motivation do you have of doing your job, right? So you got, they're definitely fractured. There's definitely a lot of things working against everyone in Iran, including the citizens, but those who propose it and say they're in charge too. So everyone's feeling some level of pain.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, 3 weeks ago when Trump put that Truth Social out, that freaked some people out. I mean, we know his negotiation tactics, but when he said a quote, whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back, maybe he meant they were going to hammer all of those oil fields and pumps and basically economically destroy an entire civilization. Because yesterday, when asked about the use of nuclear weapons, the president said, no, I wouldn't use a nuclear weapon. Quote, why would I use a nuclear weapon when we've, in a very conventional way, decimated them without it? a nuclear weapon should never be allowed to be used by anybody. But I also think, and one of the biggest cards in Trump's hand right now is when they resume bombing, blowing up Karg Island, blowing up all of these different oil wells and storage facilities and other infrastructure. I think we're holding off on that because some of the rumblings were that we would try to work out some sort of an energy deal with Iran. Yeah. So that, I don't know how that would work out. We get some of their oil or have them stop sending oil to us. I don't know exactly what, but I think that he's hesitant to completely go after all of their energy because it'll lead to a spike or more continued spike in the energy prices like we've been seeing.
True.
And it'll make it tougher to work out some kind of the deal where the U.S. gets a cut of that, I guess.
Well, he's all about the deal. I don't think he wants to do that. Also, there's a consideration of the citizens of Iran, too.
Like, yeah.
Leave it in a position where obviously he wants to get it to the point where they start making some sense and are reliable negotiators, where we're starting to move in a direction where we can sign off on something. It's been maddening to try and negotiate with the leadership is nothing but lying rats. They've been that forever, and that's what they continue to be. You know, so psychologically, Trump's all about psychologically getting the advantage. This is a tough nut to break because I don't know he's ever dealt with this level of evil. They're just very stubborn. And again, if some of them are like, death is not really the end of everything for us because that's kind of martyrdom, then it's hard to move them in a direction where anybody's talking real common sense. But doesn't it feel like there are portions of the American side that feel like we're getting closer to that? Now, again, this could be fool's gold. I don't know. Everything to this point, we haven't gotten there yet. But doesn't it feel like he doesn't want to do that decimating everything, because he wants to, he feels like there's a chance that we can get to something without doing that level of damage.
Yeah,
that's what I'm feeling.
That's how I feel, too. And you also have what wrench will be thrown into this next week, potentially, by Congress? Or will they act as soon as next week?
60
because
days,
we're
next
coming
Wednesday?
Up on, 60 days of the war.
Yeah.
And according to the War Powers Resolution, Congress will have to weigh in on this. Now, it says within 60 to 90 days, the president will have to withdraw troops within 60 to 90 days unless Congress declares war or authorizes an extension. And you've had Democrats at least five times, maybe six to this point, try to bring up a War Powers Resolution vote, and they've been rebuffed by the Republicans each time. Well, pretty soon the Republicans are going to have to actually weigh in.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's as open and shut a vote as you would expect. I mean, we've seen even this week when the Senate earlier this week were able to pass basically a framework for funding ICE and Customs and Border Patrol to end that DHS shutdown that's been going on forever and ever. You had Louisiana Senator John Kennedy try to include the SAVE Act, you know, the Voter ID Act, and include that in that legislation. Well, you had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 Republican senators vote against that modified version of the Save America Act.
Murkowski, Collins, who?
Yeah, Murkowski, Collins, McConnell, and Senator Tom Tillis.
Yeah, North Carolina.
And I have a feeling that if this comes up for vote, the War Powers Resolution, we'll see a lot of those Republicans kind of in the middle in both the Senate and Congress, who may not vote to allow this to roll on. And man, that would create a quite the disaster, I think.
It could. And Tillis is somebody who I believe has announced he's not running again. So he doesn't really, he can, as you say, vote his conscience or whatever you want to call it. But there wouldn't necessarily be the pressure from Trump that could hurt him at home in North Carolina if he's not even going to run again, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Trump usually can ramp up the pressure enough to get the Republicans in line. Kenny, with this, the stakes are very high.
They are. A lot to get to in the rest of this hour. 251-343-0106. We'll focus on your texts and having conversations with you the rest of the way. Plus, we have a lot of local news to get to.
Yeah. Also, when they, the phrase of betting on yourself. It's that's all kind of changed now. We'll talk about that on the way. Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. Thank you for listening. You know who likes this a lot? Sheila.
Oh, yeah.
She likes to play a little Wet Willie. Takes her back to when she was growing up in Mobile. It's 826, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Talking about the, I'm sorry?
Well, I was going to say, I love Sheila. She loves her. Carolina Hurricanes, believe it or not. Favorite team of hers in the Hockey League. And they're 3-0, getting ready for a sweep.
So. She's a hockey fan?
Yeah, she loves the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wow. Yeah. So CB Carl says, talking about Iran, they can't help but be lying rats, as I termed them. Their religion says it's okay to lie to infidels like us. Yeah, I mean, how do you negotiate with people? I don't know. We're doing our best, but all this pressure on them, maybe that's going to be the key.
Greg says, what do y'all think of Jared Kushner being part of the negotiations? Don't you think that is a huge conflict of interest? He's not even an official person of the government. No, but he's been involved in Middle Eastern negotiations and the Abraham Accords negotiations since term one. And I think the fact that he's able to self-deal, and it is, I mean, yeah, I'm not comfortable with it, I guess, but I think it's a big reason they're able to work some of these deals out, because it's almost like a trade involving three teams at times. I mean, it's certainly sketchy a little bit, but it's like, hey, not only if you agree with these deals and we all start working together, you can make a lot of money on real estate and, you know, the things that the Kushner family are involved in. I don't know how much they include that in negotiations, but you can't argue with so many of his results.
Yeah, he does have a track record of results now. How, you know, who all has benefited from those? I don't know. It's fair question. Mm-hmm. But also on the first, I guess I'm just used to Kushner at this point, right? He's been around for a while. And then in the first term, Ivanka was more
present.
Yeah, right. She's disappeared. Mm-hmm. I think that was intentional as well. I read something that it was intentional that suddenly she is.
Is she running faded. The Trump family business? I guess that technically fell to Don Jr. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how that ownership structure is working out now, but I know they were trying to keep somewhat of a gulf between them.
Yeah, and they, early on, there was much more Trump involvement, it seemed like, family involvement. Kushner is the last of those still doing his thing here in negotiations.
Fire Dog says, in Iran, those responsible for sacking the people who have just been sacked have now been sacked. Monty Python, British intelligence. That's good. Rick says, I mentioned, so this Maw's lease with the ADCNR to control public access to Big Creek Lake for 100 years at the price of $100. That'll take the Maw's lease and control out to the year 2125, and I was thinking, you know, where will I be? I think I know. And Rick put it in plain English. He says, in 2125, we're going to be fishing from Sweet Jesus Lake, just under the rainbow. He also said, if the SS Minnow from Gilligan's Island is ever replaced, would that be the USS Joe Biden? And just thinking all of the major aircraft carriers are named after a president. That's pretty good, too. He asks, did y'all see where Pope Leo made the statement that immigrants are treated worse than house pets? The Pope could only wish to be my house pet. She's treated like a little queen, and bless her heart, she lets me pay the rent and supply her with free room and board. But also the Pope yesterday saying how important borders are to civilized nations. I thought that was a bit of a detour from much of his commentary here recently.
I agree. That's both sides of the Pope mouth. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll come to the text line. Phone line working too, 251-343-0106. Joining us now from McConnell Automotive, we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Tell folks out there listening right now, many of them, I'm sure, looking to buy a new vehicle. Maybe they want a pre-owned vehicle or have something specific in mind. What do you have out there on the lot for them right now?
just about everything they want. I mean, we just traded in a 22 Tesla. I think it's got 20,000 miles on it. It's plaid S series. I mean, it's the bad boy. Yeah. Got it here. Got a bunch of 3/4 ton trucks you're looking to pull a boat with. We've got them. We got them certified out front. All got diesels in them, four-wheel drives. New car side, we've got plenty of new cars coming in. Got plenty of Yukons, plenty of XLs. Still got 0% on those half-ton trucks. So we're going to be here all weekend. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com, or if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
Now, just this week, Louie, you've told me, and of course you have the great Yukon, Sierras, all the new vehicles and pre-owns there, but earlier you said you had a van with a lift for people out there maybe looking, maybe have someone disabled in their family and need that, and that was something that you said you were already getting calls on. Now you're telling me you have a Tesla Plaid S. That is quite the range of vehicles.
That's right. And the van, we talked about that on Wednesday, mm-hmm. and it went bye-bye yesterday morning.
Wow, that was quick, and you knew it would be.
It was.
That's right. Appreciate your time, Louie, and hope folks go and check things out this weekend at McConnell Automotive.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Raddick. Go see him. McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website is McConnellAutomotive.com.
You can call us if you like with that text line, same number, 251-343-0106. And Michael says the Pope's always been consistent on immigration. Welcome the immigrant, just as the Bible teaches. But nations have a right and obligation to ensure public safety and secure their own nation through borders and laws. That's the church's teaching, not the crap people spew when they hear something that doesn't fit into a specific political ideology. That's from Michael this morning.
Moz says both Clinton and Obama got around the War Powers Act by claiming no boots on the ground. He said, I believe it was Kosovo and Libya, respectively. Of course, it will be wrong since it's Trump this time. Gardner asks, is Kushner Jewish? I wonder how that affects the meetings with the Iranian Muslims. Good question.
He is.
Yeah. I wonder.
Well, Witkoff is Jewish too.
Yeah. I wonder if that's played any, if that's made anything more difficult or maybe. Yeah. It's a great question. I've never really thought of what role that might be playing in those negotiations. My apologies to, let me go to Chris in Orange Beach. He said, I don't like a convertible with a back seat. However, there are exceptions. He sends me this fantastic photo there. He says, I can't believe you're not going to say something about this Bel Air. It's beautiful, Chris. Absolutely beautiful. I was trying to figure out a way to shoehorn it in, let people know. But thank you for that image. Also, Clint says, looks like marijuana was rescheduled to a Schedule 3, which is prescription drug. That kind of, that tranche of drugs. You have Schedule 3, 2, and 1. And they knocked medical marijuana. It is down from a Schedule 1 drug, which heroin and LSD are considered, down to Schedule 3. That helps with, I guess, taxes that a lot of these cannabis companies say they're paying because it's a Schedule 3 drug. But more importantly, what people have really been asking, I mean, you have some people that want marijuana completely recreationally legal across the entire country. You have some states like Alabama that are just okay with medical marijuana and not even of the smokable variety, but it's all still been federally illegal. I think when you get polling on this, and as they have over the years, the main thing most people wanted was more research, hard, accurate research, long-term research on what marijuana can do to developing brains, older people. I mean, they already know a lot. There's already been a lot done. But the federal government hasn't necessarily been in line with the medical community, and I'm not on board either with full recreational marijuana being legal across the United States. They already know that for developing minds, the youths, if they're smoking a lot of weed growing up, that's gonna harm their brain.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good that comes from it for cancer patients and so many that are dealing with serious, serious problems, and that's one of the only things or one of the best ways to fix the problems they have, because you have all these other medicines that have their own side effects.
Yep.
But because they have a name that's, 50 digits long and is advertised, we don't look at marijuana the same as we do a lot of these prescription drugs that make it onto the market, even though side effects for them may often be worse, much worse.
You're right. And I now have, let's see here, I shudder to think or to think that I should say live on the air the number of medications I'm taking. But up until 6-7 years ago, I was basically Prilosec for heartburn, and that was it. That's not the case now. Because
now the rest of your medicine gives you heartburn.
Yeah, but it's a list. Like, I don't really understand them all. I've got to have the list in my phone when I go to see a doctor or something like that. You know, just have it handy and say, well, this is what I'm on right now. Or sometimes in medical procedures, you need to fill out what medicines you're on. But it's a lot, and it all stemmed from when I had what I thought might have been a heart attack, but it wasn't a heart attack. It was just stress. But from that point on, now I have a heart doctor. So now that I have a heart doctor, suddenly they find something that they've got to go in a procedure. Remember, I don't know if you remember that or not, but they had to do kind of a quick little procedure on me with a stent.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly now I wake up in the morning. I've got all these
medicines.
All these medicines that I didn't used to have to even consider. High blood pressure. It used to be perfect. Now I need medicine to help keep it down. I could probably do a better job with my diet to get the blood pressure down. But at this point, it looks like I need the medicine.
Yeah.
The heart, the blood pressure. You know, wow.
Yeah, I'm no doctor. I don't think weed's going to help you.
No.
With those.
I don't think weed's going to help me at all, and I stay as far away from it as I can.
Let's talk.
The DOJ did reclassify weed.
That's what started this. Yeah, it was the reclassification. And so Fox 10, one of their sister stations, had a report yesterday. I guess Alabama's first medical marijuana dispensary is actually set to open now.
In Montgomery.
5+ years after they passed that legislation allowing medical marijuana. Let's get into this new age insider trading gambling world that we live in. And listen, I mean, I've been upfront about what I like to do and have liked to do for years. I love watching sports and I don't get out of control, certainly. I just throw a few bucks on games, and it makes it more fun for me to watch it.
Well, you got a sponsor
stay involved.
Out of it.
Yeah, I got a sponsor out of it, and they're involved in this kind of prediction market now as well, Underdog, that is. But the two biggest players are Kalshi and Polymarket, right? And even last night, I had Kalshi open. I was playing the NFL draft, as it were.
So these things were developed in a way where anything. If you got two opposing sides on something,
you can bet on it.
You created the market, right?
Yeah, as long as you can create a yes or no out of the situation.
Yeah, so
you have people willing to take money on yes and on no.
Incredible.
Then you can have a market for it.
So now you have people. It used to be a good term, right? It was a term of assurance and a term of you can get this done. We believe in you if you bet on yourself, right? That means you believe enough that you are going to take on something, because in the end, I'm betting on myself. I think I'm going to win. I think this job's going to work out, or I think this promotion's going to work out. It's going to be tough, but I'm betting on myself. Well, now, betting on yourself has actually become betting on yourself.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
And you know, I used to think of boxers in Vegas when they had a big, big bout on the way, and they just believed in themselves and would bet hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars and then go out there and win, and on top of the purse for winning the bout, also win at the window there in Vegas. But otherwise, in sports gambling, it's been verboten, right? Pete Rose, which Trump referenced, I'll get to that audio here in just a second, all the way back to the Black Sox, right? 1919 and the big gambling.
World Series.
Yeah, the World Series there.
Gambling was so, you know, was such a terrible sin in baseball that Rose, arguably one of the best hitters in baseball history, one of the great hustlers, really one of the great players, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Because of that.
one strike against him.
So now you have where pretty much anyone that's involved in a big public story can bet on one side or the other, and so many more people can insider trade. It's not just Congress anymore. But they're putting the screws to people now, Polymarket and Kalshi and the DOJ. And with the Kalshi and Polymarket, basically sports gambling has become federally legal.
Yeah.
And Alabama, we're still debating. You know, I think there was even talk of maybe a special session before the next governor is named to address the lottery and gambling thing again. But until they really figure out what the deal is with Kalshi and Polymarket, basically sports gambling, any kind of gambling, has become legalized on the federal level. And I know that the Trump administration, early on, once Kalshi started making some big waves, I believe they raided the home of the founder of Kalshi and grabbed his devices and were ready to
Shut it down.
Somehow they worked out some kind of deal, and since then he's become this massive billionaire, and you have all these people gambling. So the big story yesterday was that a U.S. Army Special Forces Master Sergeant, now facing federal fraud charges, when that raid of Maduro went down, there were reports coming out that there was some interesting trading going on in those markets, and that people were placing bets like Gannon Ken Van Dyke did, allegedly.
On the success of the raid.
On the success of the raid. And I think the market was that, will Maduro still be in power come this date? And while he was getting ready to help with the raid, he knew that they were taking Maduro out of power.
And same as insider trading.
And spent about $33,000 on long shot contracts, walked away with more than $400,000 in profit. And I think he knew at that point that he might be getting into some trouble. Prosecutors say he then tried to hide the money by moving it to a foreign crypto account, and that he was trying to delete his account with the person, the group that took the bet there.
So he knew in the end he
Polymarket, yeah.
He knew he was gonna, it was gonna be a bad look, and he could even end up in legal trouble.
I think he knew it was getting really dicey.
Yeah.
And so also you had Trump yesterday weighing in. He was asked about it, and this is what he had to say. Now, I believe with these charges, and this is the first criminal charge to come out of this growing federal crackdown on insider trading and prediction markets, I believe he faces at least or possibly 60 years, up to 60 years in jail for
really?
This.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Trump might not have been aware of that circumstance when he was asked about this yesterday. Here was his response.
Well, I don't know about it, but was he betting that they would get him or they wouldn't get him?
It sounds like he was betting on his removal from office, that Maduro would be removed.
Well, that's
it sounds
interesting.
Like he was involved in the operation.
That's like Pete Rose betting on his own team. It's a little like Pete Rose. Pete Rose, they kept him out of the Hall of Fame because he bet on his own team. Now, if he bet against his team, that would be no good, but he bet on his own team. I'll look into it. Yeah.
So Trump's like, well, at least he bet on us.
Yeah, he's making light of it a little bit.
Yeah, but
this guy's in serious trouble.
Serious trouble. But you also have some other stories here.
You got candidates.
You have federal prosecutors. Yeah, we had the candidates announced earlier this week that were gambling on their own races.
Yeah.
And they're being seriously looked into now and maybe facing charges. Now regulators at the SEC appear to be taking a slower road, it says. Sources say the commission has opened what may be a formal investigation into suspicious trades on futures and prediction markets. One attorney close to the matter says SEC Chair Paul Atkins sees insider trading as a direct threat to public trust in markets. Yeah. But, you know, it's been going on forever. And I think one of the better tweets I saw last night, I retweeted from Dale Stark, an A-10 pilot. He said, soldier should have known only Congress is allowed to do insider trading.
Yeah, right.
Not our military members. Yeah. Only Congress can do that and get away with it. Another lawyer says he's heard almost nothing about the SEC's investigations and described the agency's posture as unusually quiet. And I think part of that is because they don't want to step on Trump's toes. They don't know exactly where he stands on this. But here's this craziest story regarding insider trading that I've seen to this point. France's National Weather Service is now investigating what appears to be tampering at a monitoring station at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport. And the reason here, a series of unexplained temperature spikes that just happened to make a handful of traders on Polymarket very rich.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, Polymarket lets users bet on the peak temperature in cities around the world. Paris bets are settled using readings from the airport station, much like our in the market in our weekend weather scale. It's growing by the day. But that Dr. Bill gives you the rain readings and temperature from Mobile Regional. So they do the same thing in Paris from the airport.
So now, they simply just manipulated what the high or low temperature was and made that the official temperature, even though it wasn't correct.
Yes. So on the night of April 15th, temperatures in the city had been cooling down, sitting at around 18 degrees Celsius, when the airport gauge suddenly jumped to 22 degrees Celsius for a brief unexplained window. No other nearby stations recorded anything like it.
Uh-huh.
Minutes before that spike, a trader placed cheap, long-shot bets that the temperature would climb. And there were high odds against that happening,
sure,
because they knew what the forecast was, right?
Yep.
On Polymarket.
But you're in charge of what the temperature is. Even though you're not in charge of the real temperature, you're in charge of reporting the temperature.
Yeah. So that single bet paid out more than $21,000. Then a second suspicious spike, this actually happened earlier, this was back on April 6th, netted another trader nearly $14,000. Local weather enthusiasts noted the pattern, flagged it to the French Meteorological Service, and they've since filed a formal complaint with airport police over suspected tampering with an automated data system. One of those traders has since deleted their usernames, and the insider trading saga goes on.
So help me out with this text line, please. Dalton, you too, because my brain is now just running free thinking about, if you can bet on anything, if the result of anything out there can be bet on, this could lead to all kinds of consequences with policy or people in charge or decisions that have to be made for the right reason. And maybe then they'll make it just for the reason of winning a bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it could lead and seems to already be led to all kinds of chaos.
Already?
Yeah.
852, Dana Dalton, text line 251-343-0106. Give us a text or a call.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
855, text of the morning after all that insider trading talk there with Polymark and Kalshi. Fire Dog says, blue horseshoe gloves, 0.43 inches of rain at the airport tomorrow. I repeat, blue horseshoe loves 0.43 inches of rain at the airport. Little insider trading. Fire Dog knows how much is going to rain. So I don't think they have a mobile rain market up on Kalshi or Polymarket. But if they do, we'll
push it.
We have our ringer. His name is Dr. Bill.
Yeah,
but we don't want to see him get arrested, so we'll leave him out of it. Let me tell you about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Great friends of ours, Trey Bennett and his crew, that have been doing just absolutely great work on the Gulf Coast for 20 years now. I think they're 20-plus. I'll have to check in with Trey and get the exact date on that. But they've been here a while, and they've been doing great work. That's how they've stuck around as long as they have, making that junk disappear. And their easy process for getting them on the line and having them come over. First, just schedule your in-person estimate. You can do that online or on the phone. They'll call or text you 15 to 30 minutes before they arrive. Then you get the free estimate. They take a look at your items, give you a price, and no obligation. You can say no at any time. And we're talking things from piles of little junk that's gathered all over the year. Maybe you have a trampoline out back that it's time to go. So the big items, too, they take care of those. After you get that estimate, there's no obligation. You can say no at any time, and that is the price you'll pay. You can say yes and point and watch your junk disappear. That's the fun part. When you agree to the price, they'll get to work and remove your items right away. It's that easy. You can set up the appointment online or on the phone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
All right, Jeff Poor Show on the way. Jeff will be live in studio here in Mobile. Our treat today. You've got Alabama Daily News' Todd Stacy, a guest a little after 9:30. Also, Trustful Tribune's Scott Buttram is at 10:35, and of course, the returning champion, as Jeff likes to call him, Chris Elliott, state senator from Baldwin County. He'll wrap up the show with Jeff beginning at 11:35.
And again, we want to thank you. Nappy's Lanyap yesterday releasing the 2026 Nappy Award finalists, and FM Talk 106.5, happy to have entries in a number of different categories. Once again, we're up for best and favorite radio station, best DJ team. Couple entries from our station. Dan and myself are one of those entries, and then Mike and Stu from Sip and Chew, which you can hear on Sundays at 11. Then Best Morning Show. Mobile Morning's up for that. Best Talk Radio Host, Dan, myself, Jeff Poor, Sean Sullivan, finalists there. Best Sports Show. We have Prep Sports Report and the Paul Feinbaum Show. A lot in the Best Radio Lifestyle Show or Segment. And then Best Overall Radio Personality, Sean Sullivan. Somehow I ended up in that list.
That's a good list right there. Really, you deserve it, man.
Really appreciate your nominations, and we'll let you know when it's time to vote. But thank you so much.
8:59, Jeff Ford next. Dan and Dalton, see you on Monday.